Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me in the studio is Eric Johnson, colleague at Mormonism Research Ministry. And yesterday, Eric, we began talking about the topic of justification, an incredibly important doctrine within the Christian faith, one that unfortunately has been, for lack of a better word, perverted by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We were discussing yesterday, we started off with some quotes from some very, very influential theologians from the Christian faith. And I would like to start off again with another one and then compare it with something that has been said by a Mormon leader. This is B.B. Warfield, who's also from Princeton, Princeton, that we quoted yesterday. We quoted Charles Hodge. We'll probably quote him again, maybe, in days to come, or if not today. But B.B. Warfield made this comment. He said, "Justification by faith, we see, is not to be set in contradiction to justification by works." Now, if I was to stop right there, a Mormon would be going, "Yeah, now you're getting it, but you've got to listen to the rest of the statement." Let me read this. And Christian, if you're listening, this is very important. I'm going to start again. "Justification by faith, we see, is not to be set in contradiction to justification by works. It is set in contradiction only to justification by our own works. It is justification by Christ's works." Are you catching that? It is justification by Christ's works. So if you are a believer and you know for a fact that your sins are forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven, you are not being arrogant in believing that, because we recognize that it has nothing to do with our own works. It has everything to do with the works of Christ. Now, in contrast, let me read to you what Bruce McConkie in his book Mormon Doctrine, page 408, has said on this subject when he defines the Mormon doctrine of justification. He says, and I'm quoting, "What then is the law of justification? It is simply this. All covenants, contracts, bonds, obligations, oaths, vows, performances, connections, associations, or expectations in which men must abide to be saved and exalted must be entered into and performed in righteousness so that the Holy Spirit can justify the candidate for salvation in what has been done." Did you catch that, Eric? What has been done. But who is doing it? There's no mention of Jesus in here. It has everything to do with the individual Latter-day Saint. And if you're a Latter-day Saint listening to this, I have just hit the nail on the head why you cannot have that peace that passes all understanding.
Bill, the difference between all other religious systems out there, and you and I have studied so many of those, and Christianity is simply this. Christianity is asking a different question. All the world religions are asking, what must I do for God? But in Christianity, is what did Christ do for us first? Leon Morris, in our book, Mormonism 101, writes this. He calls justification is a status of being the right. He says, "In one way or another, all religions must face the ultimate question, how can man who is a sinner ever be right with a God who is just? Most religions answer in some form, by human effort, and the Mormon Church does the same. Man committed the sin, so man must do what is required to put things right and undo the effects of his sin. It is the great teaching of the New Testament, and this is key, that we are justified not by what we do, but by what Christ has done. Paul puts it simply when he says that we are justified by his blood," Romans 5:9. He links our justification directly with the death of Jesus.
And that is the heart of the gospel. That is the heart of it. It's all about what he did on our behalf. And what's so sad is that many Mormon leaders, present and past, have looked upon the idea of justification by faith alone as some horrible type of teaching. For instance, James Talmadge, a Mormon apostle, in the book Articles of Faith, the 1984 edition, page 432, he said, "The sectarian dogma of justification by faith alone has exercised an influence for evil." And I tell you, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, that should be fingernails on a chalkboard for you. That should be fingernails on a chalkboard. To hear words like that coming out of a professed religionist mouth, especially one who claims to belong to the only true church on earth. Because if it wasn't for this justification by faith alone, there would be no assurance that we have anything. And unfortunately, what James Talmadge has just expressed is something that I'm sure that many thoughtful Latter-day Saints struggle with on a daily basis. And it must be awful. It must be awful. I've talked to Mormons that struggle with this. I have talked with Latter-day Saints who have told me candidly, they've given up trying to get to the celestial kingdom, the top level of Mormon heaven where exaltation can be found. They've given it up because they know that the requirements are too great. Are these people who really just don't want to live a good life? They just want to be, you know, horrible people? No, these are people who would consider themselves to be true believing Mormons, but they've come to see that the requirements of the church have been set so high that they realize they could never do it. And so sad they've just given up. Now, I think we ought to make it clear again, because this is the first thing that you hear whenever you start talking about this issue with a Latter-day Saint is, oh, you're one of those gracers. You believe you can just say you believe in Jesus and you can go out and sin and kill people and steal and all that kind of stuff. What would you say to something like that, Eric?
Well, that's such a misunderstanding of what the gospel of grace is. To the person whom much has been forgiven, much is required. And so as far as good works, well, I mean, real quick, Ephesians chapter 2. Is used. We use this all the time, and I think these are good verses in chapter 2, King James Version. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, a lot of people might stop reading there and say, well, see, it's not of works. And even some Christians might misunderstand and say, I can go commit all kinds of heinous crimes, and it doesn't really matter because it says here, I'm saved by grace.
Now, you made a hypothetical. I've never met one who said that.
But if you did, you could say, well, this makes it sound like I don't have to do good works. And so often, Mormons will go over to James 2:20, faith without works is dead.
I agree.
In the context, absolutely. Look at verse 10, though. A lot of people forget about verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created by Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Did you notice that, Bill? What it's saying is we are created for good works, and that's what God has wanted us to do, but that's not something we do. It's putting the cart in front of the horse. We can't do that. We have to first understand that we are not saved by those works, and at the same time, works are very important to us. So any Christian who misunderstands that, or a Mormon who criticizes our view because that we could have a license to sin, Paul certainly didn't think so.
Christians have been saying for years that the reason we do our works is not in order to gain anything from God, because we already have it. The reason we do it is out of appreciation and love for the grace and the mercy that he has bestowed upon us already. And naturally, as a response to that incredible gift of salvation that he gives so freely to us by our faith in what he did for us, we want to change our life. I mean, this is what I think a lot of Mormons seem to misunderstand. When we become saved, as we understand it, we become new creatures in Christ. Come in the step of repentance, the metanoia, the changing of the heart, the changing of the mind, when we recognize our sinfulness as who we are in our sinfulness, and we recognize God in his righteousness, there's naturally going to be this change of heart if we're really born again, as the scripture talks about. Now, do you have charlatans that will profess to be born again or profess to be Christians that certainly have no desire whatsoever to live the life? Of course you do. Just like you have a lot of professing Mormons who really don't want to live the life. Most Mormons around here call them Jack Mormons. But still, that doesn't make it right. Just because you have an adherent to a faith, and this person does not really live up to the standards of the faith or what the faith professes, then certainly that doesn't mean that the faith itself is wrong. But you see, what these Mormon leaders have done is they've taken this precious, precious doctrine of justification by faith, which is clearly taught in the New Testament. I mean, you can't go through the book of Galatians without thinking, boy, did Paul write this for Mormons? Of course he didn't, but it sort of seems there's a big parallel.
You mentioned Galatians. I mean, in the first chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, he talks about another gospel. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the Judaizers, Bill, people who believed that they were Christians, but they also had to follow the law, like circumcision. And so Paul's whole book on this is dealing with this. And then he says in chapter 2, verse 14, he went after Peter because Peter was not standing up for the truth. And so he criticizes Peter where criticism is due. And then he says in verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You can't do this on your own. There's no way that you can receive. When we're talking about justification, like we were yesterday and today, we're not talking about sanctification. That's something that's down the road. But as far as justification goes, as chapter 3, verse 11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident for the just shall live by faith. When you are a believer, Bill, the faith that we have is going to be lived out. And that's where Paul later talks about in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit.
And it doesn't mean that automatically we have become righteous as far as our actions are concerned. That's not what we're saying. And it's a forensic, it's a judicial decision that it comes about. In the eyes of God, we are made righteous because we put on the righteousness of Christ. His righteousness is given to us. It's added to our account. It's a doctrine known as imputation, which probably we should talk about a little bit later on as well. And I think when Christians are talking to their Mormon friends. Again, I don't think we can emphasize this enough, Eric. It's very important that if we're going to have an intelligent dialogue with our Mormon friends, that when we are using the same terms, we need to define what those terms
absolutely
mean. Absolutely. If we don't do that, then most assuredly, we are not going to communicate with each other. We're both going to walk away going, wow, that's great. This Mormon friend of mine just got saved, quote unquote, today, you know, and yet you didn't even communicate what you were really trying to teach them. And that is so essential. We hope that you'll join us again as we continue in this incredible topic here at Viewpoint on Mormonism. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.